Okay, or both sides. Let's go. Inyan ha'kriyas and shin mem misha meis lo meis rachmana litzlan. Umi ameisim shoylis avlolehem. I mean, one of the relatives that you have to set up avlos for, which we'll learn later, but I think we all know, right? Our parents and siblings and children and spouses. Chayav likro alav is chayav tzir kriya. But tzar shiyukro ma'umad. You have to your kriya ma'umad, right? That was a bit of machlokas. There was a story in the Gemara with Ameima, who forgot and tore sitting, and then he had to tear again standing. And while the Raif has one possible opinion that maybe that was just a chumar b'yama, most we've shown him interpreted kapshuto, and even the Raif, you know, said maybe it means kapshuto that you're not yotze if you tear standing down. If you tear sitting, it has to be standing. That's what we paskin, that it's even b'dievin and karmi yushav lo yashav and tzarech lachzor v'elikroa. When do you have to do the kriya? The idea of kriya, the Gemara says, it's b'shas chimom. Chimom literally means like milshon cham, not physical heat on the thermometer, but meaning when someone is distraught, when their emotions are at a height, and therefore the ikar chimom lechachila is until yistom pnei golol, until the grave is covered. Because that's the Iker Chimam. Once the burial is over, it's not the Iker Chimam anymore. So when do we do our Kriya nowadays? So we saw in Shin Lamed Tes, Se'if Gimel, that perhaps the best time to your Kriya is B'shas Yitzias Neshama. Right? Okay. Ma'aseh Shehaya, on Friday, Reb Chaim Pinevsky passed away, and his family tore kriya on Friday. Oh, the funeral was Sunday. Okay, but shin lamites gimel, you tear kriya at bishas yitzias neshama, and then obviously they didn't have to tear kriya again. You don't tear kriya twice at the funeral. I mentioned earlier that, but we see here that lichatchila is really any time until stimas pnei golel is lichatchila, because that's all one big shas chima, and therefore you pick the best shas chima. We generally understand that the best shas chima is either b'shas yitzias neshama or during the funeral. That's when people really get really emotional because you have the spadim, the whole ritual, etc. And therefore, okay, we see from Chaim Pinevsky's family that if the people are telling chacham and they know the halachos, then it's good to do it b'shas yitzias neshama. However, the general minhag olam that most people aren't Talmid Chacham, they don't know how to do it properly on their own, and there are a lot of halachos about kriya, and therefore the rabbi has to supervise the kriya. The rabbi's not around b'shas yitzias neshama, so therefore the minhag of most places they do it at the funeral, because any time before stimas hagola, stimas pnei ames, what's also called stimas hagola, is bichlal the lechachila.
As I think it's somewhere a rav, and they were hoping it was the best for them to visit, like, the time they're visiting the family, talking about the funeral before, is the best for them to do kriya then.
No, because it's better to have more b'shas chimam, and therefore, once it's not at the moment of death, it's better to wait for the funeral. Because while they're home preparing for the funeral, it's not as much chimam as the funeral. So for sure, like, the best time is probably the time of death, but the meaning nowadays is too complicated, so we don't do it unless you're talking to family or, you know, someone who knows the halachas. And the second best time is at the funeral, but really, as long as we're chimam segola, that's b'chol, the mitzvah.
That's where the rabbi was there.
Then, let's say the Rav was there at the time you see us neshama. I think it would be appropriate to do it then, because I think that's really the best time. But you know, the Rav has to take into account, what the level of the people is, and if they'll think it's weird, and they'll think it's a weird rabbi, etc. You have to know your craft.
Basically, that's a similar question. There's a big difference between Chaim Pinevsky's family and someone who knows the halacha. Someone who knows the halacha for themselves.
I think someone knows for the halacha themselves is better to hear b'shas yitzias neshama. But again, it's not a big deal, and therefore, if it's going to confuse people, etc., you know, then I would say for the, you know, I'm wary of confusing the average balabas by telling them to do something they're not used to. So I do think that it's certainly with someone who has an understanding of halacha, it's better b'shas yitzias neshama. But again, it's perfectly fine to wait. It's not a bidyevet to wait till the funeral. It's bidyevet to wait till after the funeral, after the burial. Obviously, that's what it says here. What else do we have in this? If not a ton, but in the Pesachei Tshuva, he has. And by the way, in the Shachs of Katan Dalet, he points out that the minig is to tear when we get to the Baruch of Dayna Emes. Dayna Emes is not a Birksa Mitzvah on the Mitzvah of Kriya. It's just there are two reactions to a bad thing happening. But since there are two reactions to a bad thing happening, the minigs put them together, and that's what we saw already in Shin Lama Tesef Gimel. That's what we do everywhere I've seen. They put the Bracha Dina Emes and the Kriya together. They say Dina Emes, and then they tear. That's the general minhag. That the funeral, the rabbi says, you know, say after me, Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Dina Emes, and then they tear. The Pesachei Tshuva here is an interesting discussion. In Simchat Aleph, the Birkei Yosef says that it's best to have someone else do the kriya for him. These are all this is not my yikar. Did just like a hitter. It's best to have someone else do the kriya for him. Why? Because it's more more embarrassing, more agbas nefesh, perhaps, that someone else tears your clothing. So he says better to have someone else do it. However, it's not so pashut. There's a shut base Yehuda who says the opposite of this Pesachei Tshuva. He says, what do you mean it's better if someone else do it for him? He says, more agmas nefesh. It's better for him to do it himself because kriya is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, say midrabanan. And a mitzvah yosim b'shlucha. It's always better to do a mitzvah yourself. The minhag olam everywhere I've seen I'm sure there are some people who might only like the shut base Yehuda or only like the Birkei Yosef that he quotes here. But the minhag olam in all places that I've seen is that the rabbi starts it off and the Avel finishes it himself. The reason being this way, you don't say like both, like the Iker Kriya, the person does it himself, but the rabbi starts it off, so the Agmas Nefesh of the Birkei Yosef. And obviously the other reason is that since people often don't know the Halach as well, if the rabbi starts it off, then they can't really mess up at that point, right? Because the rabbi shows them what to do and they just have to continue. So that's the Pshara that I've seen everywhere in the world, that the rabbi starts, the person continues. Oh, what happens if I'm a rabbi at a funeral? Been a rabbi at a funeral, not a lot because I'm not a professional helping rabbi. But what happens if there's a woman? Is it proper for the rabbi to start tearing the woman's clothes? So the answer is no. So the answer is the rabbi directs, but we still do this pshara. The rabbi directs a woman, the rebbetzin or another woman from the family, or you know, to start the woman's clothes, and then she continues herself. But the rabbi shouldn't start tearing the woman's clothes because that's not a tznius.
Level of Kanievsky's children, like should they, I guess, for using that example, should they be locked for the Bishuda? Is it better to do it yourself because it's a mitzvah maker?
No, I think it's better to have this compromise because the Birkei Yosef, and Bishuda both have valid points. Either way, is really fine. These are all Hidurim. No one says it's the Iker mitzvah. It's just what mitzvah goes Bishlucha versus extra Agmas Nefesh. Either way, there's not Ma'akeh, but I think that the Minag is not like, I mean, it's a compromise. It's not a compromise like the wrong thing. It's a compromise between two Shitas. And the Minag is we try to be able to take both Shitas alone.
Isn't by Sota that we do exactly just that? A Kohen, the one that rips your shirt? Like, is exactly that scenario?
There's a lot of strange things that happen in Sota. And as a matter of fact, the Gemara has even a Machlokes Tanaim. Exactly how much do we reveal? So it's a great question. And again, it's Machlokes Tanaim, Megalonus Liba, Ein Megalonus Liba, Ein Megalonus Liba, etc. But I think part of the answer is that Sota is an exception because we have to make a tremendous, tremendous bizayon to show everyone else what a terrible person she is. So we compromise that Tznius a little in order to be Mavaza her extra. But we wouldn't do that for Avelus. You know, the Kriya Sota is more important that it be more of a strong act than the Kriya of Avelus. Okay. If Bays. Mako, one other thing. The Pesachei Tshuva is a little later. If someone else tears too much, they're chayav to pay. Okay, that's all from a bygone era. To best of my knowledge, nowadays when you tear the clothes after Shiva, the Avel throws in the garbage. No one actually repairs them and says, well, it's a hezek because now I have two tefachim that are going to have to be sewed up instead of one. You know, then nowadays, this whole thing like baltashkes, that you're too much, I don't think applies nowadays. That what does he say? If someone else tears too much, he has to pay. And even himself, it's baltashkes, tear too much. I don't think that applies nowadays because, yeah, in the days when you would sew it back up and it would be a weaker clothing, you know, the clothing would now be torn and sewed and it wouldn't protect you from the elements so much and wouldn't last as long if you needed to wear it another 5 years. So it's baltashkes, tear too much. Nowadays, you throw in the garbage anyway and buy new clothing And that's not Baltashkes, because we just have different lifestyles. Maybe some of the things we do are Baltashkes, but not this. I don't think caring too much is Baltashkes, but not as sad. Sif base. Makam akriya b'chol makam b'satzar l'fana. Where's the makam akriya? Any place in the front of the neckline. Avalim karla akrav, but in the back of the neckline. Right? Meaning, front of the neckline is here. Right? What's the front of the neckline? Simple pshat is, this is what I've seen. Again, I don't know what Hasidim do, but in non-Hasidic circles, we walk around often with the top button open. So pashtus is the neckline goes from here through this V to here. Or if you're wearing a t-shirt, it's just like here, or whatever it may be. So to tear from here or from here, you know, someplace from the neckline. I mean, I think this all counts in the neckline. I've seen people, they start tearing from here. Why? Because since you're not a chassid, you're allowed to walk around with this revealed. So this is all part of the neckline because you don't always close this button.
Chassidim tear high.
By chassidim, I don't know what chassidim do because chassidim, again, I'm not saying all chassidim do what chassidim is supposed to do. But theoretically, a chassid is not allowed to walk around with this button open from here because this is the neckline. Otherwise, just the middle of his clothes. Again, obviously, there are Hasidim who keep all the Hasidic pedas more, Hasidim who don't. So I think they might have a different, I'm not saying this only Smara, they would have to tear like this. But I think a Litvak could say, I often walk around like this, and therefore I could tear from here. And I've seen everyone tear from here nowadays. And I don't go to many Hasidic shivas, so, but I've seen it. You know, non-Hasidic shivas, people tear from here. I think the svara is that's considered the neckline because we always, right, look around this room, right? Everyone here has this button open. So that's part of the neckline. So for modern Orthodox Israelis, then maybe even tear from here, but I haven't seen them do it. You know, I've seen them do it from close to the top. Okay, yeshkol. Okay, not that I'm accusing Michael of being modern Orthodox. Okay, so that's the minatzdodin lo yotza. Minatzdodin, you're not yotze. Here is a big machlokes rishonim what minatzdodin means. What's the machlokes rishonim about what minatzdodin means? So maybe the side of your clothing. You manage to rip the side of your shirt. Who says that? Someone who we didn't really quote a lot in Hilchos Nida. The Ritz Gias. I think they call him Ritz Gaius and Yeshivas. It's really a Giat. It's a lot of people in Israel nowadays and Giat. Right? The Ritz Giat, one of the very, very early Rishonim. The Ritz Giat wrote that side means minus the side of your clothing. But what did the Ramban write? That in the Torah, that knows the side of the neckline. Right? Like what if someone tears from the side of the neckline? I don't mean like the front on the side of the front. No one thinks it has to be dead center, right? But here's the front. I don't know where to draw the line. You can imagine, here's the front, here's the back, and here's the sides. Thurmat says the sides are also puzzle. I assume the Ritzkiyat would say, no, divided 50-50. The back is puzzle, the front is kosher. But that's a big machlokas. Can I tear from here? According to the Ritzkiyat, yes, the soul of Tzadim is only over here. But according to the Ramban, no. How do we paskin? It's not so clear. Omenatzdodin lo yatza. He doesn't really explain himself too much, but the Achronim assume that he paskins like the Ramban, and we paskin like the Ramban, the modern day poskins like the Ramban, that obviously we also agree that you can't tear from the side of your shirt, but, you know, everyone agrees that you can't tear from the side of your shirt, but what is Litzdudin means? It doesn't just mean you can't tear from the side of your shirt, that's obvious. It means that you can't tear from the side of the neckline, only from the front of the neckline. So basically, you don't have half the neckline to tear. You have a quarter of the neckline to tear. You have to tear from the front, not from the sides. That's, again, it's not 100% clear in the Mechaber, but that's what the Achronim assume. Okay, in addition, this comes out of the Rishonim, but the Pesachei Shuv goes to the Chachos Adam, you have to tear downwards, not sideways. You tear sideways, you're not Yotze. Okay, he says, why? Because sideways just looks like your clothes got torn and not like you tore it on purpose. So you have to tear downwards, not sideways. No, but I don't know. Probably not. But why? So we're still not going to tear downwards, not sideways. I never saw anyone tear sideways. No, it can be diagonal, just can't be sideways. Meaning, yeah, no one tears like this. I've never seen anyone do it. Because that's Chachma Sadam. Okay, whatever this far is, the minute is.
The person starting here, went sideways.
And yeah, I think diagonal is okay. I think he just means not sideways. I think. Continuing. Hagavish Omer, so Yotzim Kor B'Shulei Abeg. Some people say Yotzim Shulei, mean the bottom. You can tear the bottom of your shirt. It's a pretty big kula. Tear the bottom, you know, just then you can tuck it in and no one will see. You can tear the bottom of your shirt. Like you tear the bottom of your shirt after Shiva, tuck it in, and you stole a good shirt.
You tear up.
Yeah, tear up the bottom of your shirt. Why? It's Machlokas Tanaim. Maybe Chacham Rabbi Yehuda, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to tear the bottom. Some people say we classify like Rabbi Yehuda, which is strange because he's not the minority Shita. And don't say halakha divrei Mekel ba'avel, because that's only by Avelos, not Kriya. Kriya is a different mitzvah to Rabbanan than Avelos. So it's strange. And ukshakorin al shar mesim she'emes ablam aleihem. V'chein nagul l'hakol krov shulei beged shorin al shar mesim she'emes ablam aleihem v'al mesim she'em krov v'emes ablam aleihem any yotzim k'yazu v'tzarch l'krov v'es atzaver v'chein nagul. Says the minhag is that we rely on this manda amar only for mesim who are not relatives. For sort of optional kriyos, like Sif, Hey, Vav, I don't even know about Ches. For optional kriyos, or for kriyos that are not relatives, then we rely on this kula to tear from the bottom. But for other, for Krovim, we don't rely on this kula at all, we tear from the top. I've never seen anyone really tear from the bottom, probably because nowadays, even if you tear from the bottom, you're going to throw it out. So, like, what's the difference? Those days, they want to not damage it so much. Nowadays, you know, it's whatever, we live in a different reality. It's easier to buy a new shirt than to sew it up. What about Kriya by the Kotel? Would they be Makel for Kriya by the Kotel? That is a great question. According to this Ramah, could you Makel tear by the Kotel to tear from the bottom of your clothing? After all, we're Makel for other Mason, but not relatives. So how about the Kotel? Neither other Mason nor relatives, right? Where does it fit? I don't know. Be interesting. Maybe we have to look in this farm if anyone talks about it. Okay, Glean Nether, we'll look in this farm. It's a good question. I'm not sure.
People look like middle of the shirt, not starting at the top, but like now just like take a knife and start here.
You mean they go like this?
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in Sif Yud Beis. That's Machlokas, Machabim Raman, Sif Yud Beis. Although, spoiler alert, it's wrong. Okay. Gimel, shir kriya tefach, right? How far do you have to tear? One tefach. Being parol amesav alahosip, ba'osa kriyal meis acher. What if someone already tore their clothing for one mace, and now they want to add for another mace? Im acher shiva sagi b'kolshu. We mitoch shiva tzarich tefach. Okay, after shiva they can add a kolshu. Within shiva they have to add a tefach. Meaning, if someone all this, but everything we say here, moser modav fnechem, everything we say here is lo alim. Someone's brother dies, and then eight days later, their sister dies. So they have the same shirt. They could just tear another kol shivu. However, if their brother dies, and 5 days later, their sister dies during shiva. Then they continue the tear, but they have to tear another tefach. What's pshat? Pshat is because we'll see later that during shiva, you have to wear the torn clothing. During shiva, well. Not so much of other relative, but at the very least, but correct. But during Shiva, let's say better. During Shiva, there's still a during Shiva, there's still a kiyum of Kriya. There's still a kiyum of Kriya during Shiva for other relatives. If you didn't tear, you have to tear during Kriya. You have to tear during Shiva. During Shiva, there's more of a kiyum of Kriya. After Shiva, there's no kiyum of Kriya for the first relative anymore. It's just history. So the pshat is that, again, the Mefarshim don't really explain this. They just say that's what it says. But the pshat is that the Maisa Kriya, it's enough to just tear Kol Shu. However, the Chetza Shel Kera needs to be a Tefach. And therefore, if it's 8 days later, just do a Maisa Kriya of Kol Shu, and you already have a Chetza of Kera, of a Tefach plus, so that's good enough. But during Shiva, no, you need the Heft of the Kera to be Yotze the first mace. Same Kera can't be Yotze both mace. You need a Heft of the first mace and a Heft of the second mace And therefore, you need to tear an additional tefach. That seems to be the part. You don't need to tear a tefach. You just need to tear and have a tefach. But during Shiva, you still need to have the tefach for the brother. So the same tefach can't be for the brother and the sister, so you can do another tefach for the sister. Okay, that seems to be the shot. But in any case, it's the halacha. All this is only for other relatives, for parents. Doesn't matter within Shiva, after Shiva, now, later, etc. You have to tear much more than a tefach. You have to tear until all the way to under your heart to reveal your heart. Continuing. Dalit, Shem Shakar al Krova Shemas Avalov, Kach Korea Bifne Krova al Mace Shemes Lakrova. Just like someone tears for their Karov, that there was Avalov, meaning what we call first degree relative, right? That's pretty much the fee of Avalos and Shivas, I think what people mean in English by first degree relative, right? A child, spouse, sibling, or parent. Likewise, they tear in front of their Karov if their Karov's Karov died. Ketzad, harishameis ben beno, achi beno, oim beno, meaning all in case where it's not also his relative, right? It has to be like a lot of half, his son's son or his son's half-brother that's not his son, or his son's mother who he divorced and is not his wife. Chayiv lekro b'fnei beno, he has to tear kriya. He doesn't have to tear kriya by himself. Someone's second degree relative died, there's no chayiv kriya. But if their second degree relative died and they're with the in-between link, then they have to tear kriya in front of that in-between link. The pasha says, out of covet for that in-between person. L'chore, if it was covet ames, there would be chayiv tear kriya wherever they are. But no, the second degree relative, we're all chayiv your second degree relatives. I mean, or not, whatever we want. Not my problem. They even know, I guess, I don't know how much b'chaber so much, it was the meritor. But if it was a chiyav of kavod ames, then you would have to do it even if you're not in front of the guy. The chord's a chiyav of kavod of the middleman. Meaning, if someone's son is sitting shiva for the son's son, then out of cover for the son, I also tear kriya to like share in his sorrow. The whole world doesn't have to, but since I'm related, I tear kriya to share in his sorrow. Continuing. Likewise, someone has to tear kriya on his father and father-in-law, father-in-law or mother-in-law, and the wife and her father-in-law or mother-in-law. But the diuk here is, someone says this diuk on the page, the shach, sifkatan vav, quoting Beis Yosef in the Torah later on, says, however, there's a difference. For a blood relative, it's for any second degree relative. For a spouse, it's only for parents. Why? Because we're not going to get into philosophy here. In some ways, I'm obviously closer to my spouse than I am to my brother, right? But in other ways, I'm less related to my spouse than I am to my blood relatives, because she's not a blood relative, right? And therefore, for my spouse, it's only on her parents, because there's an Indian of covenant of in-laws, and therefore it only applies to the parents. But for blood relatives, it applies to all of their relatives. But for a spouse, it's only for the parents. Okay, there are a lot of machlokos about this, which the poskim don't get into because of what the Rambam says here. One of the fascinating machlokos, I'll just chazer for a second, since I have to stall anyway. I'll chazer for a second. One interesting machlokos that comes out, about this, which is the machlokos we've shown him. Is the Kriya, and then there's a whole machlok of Bachamish Yosef, you have a private hold, etc. We're not getting into it. We'll stick with the Rush and the Ramban, right? The Torah quotes the Rush and the Ramban. When does someone tear Kriya for the second degree relative? Do they tear Kriya b'shas chimam, meaning when they hear the news, shas chimam is when they hear the news, or they're at the funeral, etc.? Or do they tear Kriya when they see the in between relative, right? If someone's grandson dies, does he tear kriya when he hears the news his grandson dies? Hearing the news is also a shas chimam. Or does he tear when he's with his son for the first time? So the Ramban says, and that seems clearly what the Shulchan Aruch means to say, the Ramban says only when he's with his son for the first time is he tearing. And the Rush says, nope, he tears right away to shas chimam. Okay, where did the Ramban get it from? The Ramban gets it from, it seems to be a mafur story. in Moed Katzav. Right? The story of Amemar. Yes. Exactly. This is the same. Amemar Shachav Bar Grey. His grandson dies. What? Chafam Beis at the end. 20D. Amemar Shachav Bar Grey. Kari Labe. He taught Kriya. Asabre Kari Ba'ape. His son came. Kari Ba'ape. He tore in front of him. Idkantum Yushav Kara. Kam Kara Ma'umad. And then he remembered that he tore sitting down. So he tore again standing up, which is where we see that even though the writer is a suffix, maybe it's just a chumrah, a pashup shot, he's doing halacha. So we see even b'diavad, you're not guilty of sitting down, so you have to tear again. Okay. The simple shot of reading this Gemara is, Amemar tore three times because he made two mistakes. First, he tore stam. Then he saw his son. And remember, he had to tear in front of his son. So he tore again in front of his son. And then that was sitting down. So then he tore a third time. So he remembered he had to tear standing up. So the Ramban deduced in this Gemara that the Chiyav is daf got to tear in front of the son, not to tear stam. Meaning the Chiyav doesn't start till you're in front of the intermediary, till he's in front of his son. And therefore, he's only also in front of his son. That seems to be pshat in this. That seems to be pshat in this story. However, the Rush disagrees. The Rush disagrees. The Ravid also disagrees. Oh. Okay, the Ravid Machlokes Beis Yosef Bachman means the Ravid Beis Yosef also disagrees. How does the Rush read the story? So Tosa actually has two days, but we'll deal with one of them. The big Machlokes is Amemar Shachavli Barbre Kari Ilave, Amemar Toran his grandson, Asabre, his son came, Kara Ba'ape. What are the two ways to read Asabre Kari Ba'ape? Kara Ba'ape? His son came and Amemar tore in front of his son, or his son came and his son tore in front of Amemar. So that seems to be the Nekudas HaMachlokas. Again, there are other pshatim. Also, if you say that Asa Bray Kara Ba'ape, if you say Amemar Kara Bifne Beno, then that leads to the Ramban. Chayav Likroa Bifne Ha Karov Ha'avel, right? But how does the Rush read it? The Rush would read it. Again, there are different days. This that Beno Kara Bifnei Amemar. His son came and tore in front of him. Why would his son come and tear in front of him? It doesn't sound like his son never tore until then. Shot is, remember once upon a time people respected their parents? Right? Okay. Yeah, you read books from the old days. You'll see people once respected their parents. So maybe Amemar tore sitting down the first time. And his son wanted to say, Abba, thank you for caring for my son who died, but you tore sitting down. You're not guilty to do it again. It's not respectful to say to your father you did something wrong. So he came and he like stood up and tore in front of his father as a subtle hint to his father that you're standing up. And his father was Amemar, so he got the hint. And he tore again. So maybe no karabifnei amemar. Why? Lirmos lo shetzarech likroa shov meumad. As a hint, as a way of giving him musa, giving him tocha, you tore sitting down. Again, according to Ramban's way, the second time he tore sitting down. In which case, you would get the rush. But no, it was perfectly fine that Amemar tore before he saw his son. Amemar didn't tear again in front of his son. He was supposed to tear before he saw his son. Just he tore sitting down and his son tore in front of him to hint to him that he tore sitting down, in which case, Korea Miyad. Let me just, in case I lost anyone, let me just do the story. Here we have number one, Amemar Kara Shelo Bifne Beno, not Yotze. Two, Amemar Kara Bifne Beno Miyushav. And three, finally got it right. Amemar Kara Bifne Beno Me'umad. So first he made a mistake down in front of his son. Then he made a mistake, as opposed to the Rush would read it. First, Amemar Kara Miyushav. Then, Beno Kara Bifanov Lirmozlo. And then Amemar got the hint. Amemar Kara Me'umad. But of course, There's no difference if he doesn't go fun him. She'll have a fun him. You should just do it as soon as possible.
Isn't that, like, Mara gives, like, means of what to do in that kind of situation where a parent, like, keep, you know, being mistaken on Lafa.
So I understand. Say, I'd say that family dynamic, he thought this would be the best way to do it. It's more or less. It's close enough.
Right, but I'm saying, like, once there's a counterweight of what's not applicable today, I'll tell it, like, by, you know...
Okay, but maybe he understood that between him and his father, that would be insulting and keep it, you know, wouldn't be keeping up even in this circumstance. Think of the Nora says, you should tell your father, didn't you teach me, etc. That's as a rule of thumb, that you have to know the situation. And assuming his situation, maybe that would have been insulting. Okay, maybe for others, I mean, you have to be more sensitive. Because, you know, it's more embarrassing for him to have made a mistake in halacha than if your father's a shoemaker. Okay. In any case, we paskin like the Ramban, because he says here it has to be befunav. In any case, why is all this irrelevant? Ain't no again, achshav kein. We don't do this benedict all nowadays. I never saw anyone do this in my life. Kamoshi is part of the comments from Shinai Dal and Yon Velos. Why? Since Shinai Dal says you also have to keep a Velos in this case for second degree relatives if you're in the presence of the first degree relative. And nowadays you don't do it. Why don't we do it? Well, here, why don't we do it? The simple shot is that why don't we do it? So the simple shot is because where did this chiyuv come from? Is it kavod hames of the second degree relative or kavod achai of the first degree relative? So we say it's kavod achai, it's not kavod hames. Kavod hames only, again, let's take the family tree. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, you know, who's the grandfather, who's the father, who's the grandson, right? The Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So if Yaakov dies, Avraham has to do a kriya. Why? Now I'm covered for Yaakov. He's not Yaakov's first degree relative. I'm covered for Yitzchak, because if Yitzchak is mourning for Yaakov, then Avraham should share in his sadness and terror. If it's covered ha-chai, not covered ha-meis, then it's nitan mechila. And therefore, at some point in history, everyone decided to be mochel. And that's why we no longer do avelos and kriya for second-degree relatives, because nitan mechila, and at some point in history, everyone decided to be mochel. Okay. Yesh la'ayin here, k'tzas, according to we pass like the Arbat, so it works well, that it's covered of the chai. That's why you only do fun of. How about the rush? Does Rush also think it's covered in chai, or does he think it's covered in mace? So, the way you could say, according to the Rush, it's covered in mace, which maybe it wouldn't be mitzvah l'chila. But the way the mace, Yosef reads the Ravid, who thinks the Ravid is the same with the Rush, he says, no. The Rush also thinks it's covered in chai. They both think it's only a chi of the fun of. You only have to tear if you're going to be in front of the first degree relative. The machlokas is just when do you tear? Do you tear when you're in front of him? Or if you know you're going to be in front of him, tear right away, because it'll still be torn when you're in front of him. So the way the Beis Yosef reads the right being the same as the Rush, they both agree in love with this. You could read the Rush as, let's just put the Lumdus on the board. As the Ramban says, it's clearly Kavod Achai, and that makes sense in Nitan L'Machila. The Rush, you could say, maybe it's covered on mace. Kriya for second degree relatives covered on mace, which would be a chiddush, but possible. But you could say, I'll pee the Ravid. You could say, no, he also admits it's covered hachai. The hachiyov who laleches bebeged karua. Bifne hakarov ha'avel rak she'ose nice kriya bishas chimon. No, maybe he also agrees this kavod achai. Chiyuv is that Avram should walk and should sit with Yitzchak in a torn shirt. It's just that he should tear his shirt when he is emotional and then sit with it in front of Yitzchak. So it could be that Bein Ramban Bein LaRush, it's kavod achai, in which case it makes sense. There's Nitan L'Mechila and L'Maisa. That is our myth. Okay, now we have some strange CD from the Shulchan Aruch. They're actually not covered in
certain things like this.
Could you say that even if it's covered on mace, could you say that even if it's covered on mace, all the mesim are mochel on their covered when they're alive? Because we do find that perhaps this is not so clear. But how about Kriya for first degree relative, right? So Pashtas not. Halacha l'maisa, we assume that even though Kriya is clearly for Kavanah Meis, not everything is mochalable. Why? We'll get to when we talk about Mechilas Avelos.
Kriya is not the other
side. No, we pass in none of the Avelos is mochalable. We'll get to it. Okay, so let's argue about it when we get to it. Okay, next Gemara. There's a Gemara that has a series of discussions. The Mishnah says in Moed Katan that Ein Korin, etc. Elokrova Shalmeis, only the Krovim Dekriya. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Don't you have to Kriya for any Chacha? Oh, he's not a Chacha. Don't you have to do Kriya for any other Kasher? Oh, he's not another Kasher. Don't you have to do Kriya for anyone? If you're there when he dies, you weren't there when he dies. But the Gemara takes a different question. There's many Chiyuv in Kriya. That's Hei through Ches for non-relatives. Okay, what's strange is not anything it says in the Shulchan Aruch. What's strange, Michael, is
we
don't keep these sifim in the Shulchan Aruch. But let's take it sif by sif. Basically, first thing we have to say in the sif, then we have to figure out why no one actually does anything it says in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and everything in between. And I'll tell you in my cloak because I had it with Arina yesterday. The Ha'omed. Number one, Ha'omid b'shasi tzis neshama shel ish o isha miyisrael chayiv l'kroa. Right? O isha is not anymore, interestingly. Anyone who is standing at the time, who's with a dead, a Jew, when that Jew passed away, like mamish b'shasi tzis neshama, everyone has their kriya, even if they're not related. Everyone has to, and it's clear in the Gemara, this is not for an adam kosher. Right? Well, right? Even if sometimes they do have real estate, doesn't mean they don't believe in Judaism. But sometimes they do have eros, or sometimes they don't do mitzvahs when it's hard. No, an adam kosher is someone who never does have eros. Well, no one's perfect. An adam kosher is someone who basically you expect to not do have eros and to do all the mitzvahs. That's an adam kosher. Adam kosher is someone who keeps all the halachos. Here we're talking about someone who, is not so stark. They believe in the Torah, just, sometimes they're tempted, so they do the wrong thing. Someone who believes in the Torah, just sometimes when he's tempted, he steals. You wouldn't call him an adam kosher. Someone who believes in the Torah, just sometimes, when he's lazy, he doesn't get out of bed for mincha. I wouldn't call a guy an adam kosher. He still keeps his standing as a member of the club. So on that person, even if he's not an adam kosher, still you tear kriya if you're there b'shas tzias neshama. Why? What does the Gemara compare it to? Famous drasha of the Rav, like a sefer Torah shen nisra. Okay, now here we get into a lot of lumdus. What way is he like a sefer Torah shen nisra? Okay, let's put this on the board. You see the green doesn't come out so well. The blue also doesn't come out so great. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong. Let's try the red. How does the red come out? Oh, good. Okay. Sefer Torah Shenisra. What does the Ramban quote Rashi as saying? Even though it's not in our Yersin Rashi. Now, why is it like Sefer Torah Shenisra? Because, right, now it's funny. You would say because he learns a lot of Torah. But he's not necessarily an adam kosher. Who says he learns a lot of Torah? He says, no, because he's chayav to learn Torah. And he would learn a lot of Torah. He should have learned a lot of Torah. What are the guys who grow up on Aretz? Okay, well, we look at the world with our halachic glasses. Today, he's a grow up on Aretz. He's not more of an Aretz than Rabbi Akiva was until 40. And you never know what it'll be tomorrow. Okay. So Rashi seems to say, Ramban, b'shem Rashi, because of the chiyuv Talmud Torah. What does the Ramban himself say? And that's why he says Sefer Torah. What does the Ramban himself say? Who got to hear? A lot of people admitted they got to say, hey. You know, it's Migo and Freya. You no longer a Migo, you could have said you didn't get
here.
So what does the Ramban say? The Ramban says he has two things. One thing says, it's an elitza. It just means it's a big loss, like a Sefer Torah. right? Means a big loss. It's precious. That's what he says. That's the word he uses. It's precious. He doesn't use that word, but that's, you know, since it's precious, like a sefer Torah Shenisra. If you can read me the Lashon if you want. What's the Ramban's Lashon? Hefsid gadol ve. The Harada Rabba, it's terrible, right? It's a terrible loss, like a sefer Torah, but it has nothing to do with the Torah. It just means, just like sefer Torah is very precious to us, so says the Ramban himself, it's just a terrible loss. However, then the Ramban adds something, and the Rashi elsewhere, where was the Rashi elsewhere? They quote a Rashi elsewhere, right? They quote a Rashi in Shabbos or something? No, am I making this up? What? In Rabbi Elazar Demila, that's Shabbos, right? What is Rashi in Rabbi Elazar Demila? Right, right. The Siyam line of Seder Moed, right? Whether in Daf Yomi or not, last line of Seder Moed, right? Kefela Harimon Rakasech, even the Reikonin are Malaya Mitzvos Karimo, right? By the way, Agav, why is the Rimon always used as Malaya Mitzvos? It's not because there are 613 seeds in a Rimon, and that's just like an old wife's tale. It's because all other fruits have a lot of flesh and a few seeds inside the flesh, right? An apple, there's a lot of apple and a few seeds on the inside. And an orange, there's a lot of orange and a few seeds in those like annoying places, etc. But the Rimon, you open it up, it's all seeds, right? So if you want to say Malayan, you say Malayan Karimo, and it's not like an apple where there's a few seeds. No, it's mamish, wall to wall full like a Rimon. Okay, not to do with anything, but it's good to know that, you know, you shouldn't like become a kofer if you count and there aren't 613. That's not what Chazal meant. That's just something that your grandmother heard someplace. Anyway, says Rashi and Shabbos, and the Ramban, his second day, also says something along the lines. He says, no, Milayim Torah Umitzvos. Everyone has a lot of Torah in them. Not because of the Chiv Talmud Torah. Just because all Jews do lots of mitzvos. I know we are trained nowadays. We live in an age of tribalism and cynicism. And when we look at Jews, we should say how terrible they are. But that's not what Chazal want us to do. Really, we look at Jews, we should say, look how much they're Malaya mitzvos karimo, right? When we see someone driving a Shabbos, we should say, ah, look at this guy. He goes here to Megillus Esther on Purim, and he made Kiddush last night, and he goes to shul sometimes, and he does so many mitzvos. And what a wonderful yid. Okay, everyone needs improvement. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina might be who qualifies, right? It says the Mishiosa, the discussion of what about Isha? After all, if it's based on Chiyuv Talmud Torah, then women are part of Talmud Torah. Yeah, Yosef throws it in the end, but I don't think it's in this context. Maybe we do have somewhat of a Chiyuv Talmud Torah. But maybe an afgamina for a woman. That's how the Ramban understands. The Ramban understands, again, this is sort of phantom Rashi, Ramban quotes, then it would only be a man and not a woman. Oh, it would only be a man and not a woman, but L'chor it would be even a katan. Melchor would be even a katan, because a katan is chayim in Talmud Torah, or at least, you know, if the katan started learning. So then it would be only ish below isha, perhaps. But if you say it's a terrible loss, then melchor would be ish isha, katan, and katana, right? Every Jew is a terrible loss. What if you said it's because they're Malayim Torah mitzvahs? Then what might you say? Ish and Isha, but not necessarily Katan and Katana, right? Ish and Isha are all Malayim mitzvahs Karimo, but Katanim, again, maybe it depends what age does. Certainly Katanim are not necessarily so, you know, they're not Chayven mitzvahs, and if they're little kids, they obviously don't do anything. So how do we pask on this? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ish O Isha. He says, Isho Isha. Apparently, he's not impressed with this Rashi. Not impressed. It's not possible. Like the Rashi quoted in the Ramban, it has nothing to do with the Chiv Talmud Torah. It's Isho Isha. Haba Ketanim. He doesn't really say.
Well, I think there's another day in Rashi quoted that he's not having a Neshama. Therefore, it's for everyone. There's just one adjustment in there and a Neshama. That would be for everyone else.
At the end of that. Yeah. Hey, Chayiv Akarath Nishmashol and tells Doma Lo. mitzvahs. I mean, it seems to be one sentence in Rashi. Or am I going? That it's called a ner, and a sefer Torah is called a ner. You're right. That's the Rashi that we have. That we have in front of us in Moed Katan. And then that sounds more like it's just a matter of precious, right? So we'll add to your Rashi Moed Katan. Right, because Nair is just like the soul itself is precious. Maybe here we'll add like sort of the Ramban has sort of a second thing, right? What's the Ramban's second aspect? He says he has a lashon sort of. He says number one, it's a big loss. Inami yesh lomar change your lech hokar on the kaime mitzvah seha obdim mitzvah ksiva. So you lose a mitzvah ksiva say when you burn a misa osel obdim mitzvah shomaisa. Right, so says the Ramban. Inami. Says mitzvos. It's because the loss of mitzvos.
Why do we want to not just take the end of the tzitzit and be able to use the Chiyot HaMitzvot as well in the tzitzit, the Gamut Torah Yisr, sorry, Tzirch HaRamon Maisa, Mitzvot Shifayadot, and that we could even use that?
Yeah, because the Beis Yosef is saying that about the Rashi and Shabbos. He's not saying that about the Rashi quoted by the Rabbah.
Okay.
Right? Ein lecha reik shibishol she'im ator mitzvos ha'isha isa b'mitzvos ha'gam b'tor isa sheri tzricha lomo ma'isa mitzvot chayevas. It's not clear to me if that was going back on the first Rashi or not. It's not clear to me. I guess, you know, maybe you could say no. Isha's also, right? The Taz says, why wouldn't say b'rishat Torah? The type. Okay. So maybe you could say, right? But Beis Yosef doesn't say even according to that Rashi in Ramban, Isha's Chayvus and Talmud Torah. He says, even according to the Rashi of Torah mitzvahs, we come in Shabbat. That's why it's a little masuk, that maybe he's making that chiluk. If you're talking about being full of Torah mitzvahs, the woman's also full of Torah mitzvahs. Remember, the Chi of Talmud Torah, maybe you need a formal Chi of Talmud Torah. I'm not sure. Okay. You know, that way in manners that it, you know, Tzarech Iyon if the Beis Yosef disagrees with that. Anyway, Lamaisa, what about Ketanim, is not so clear, right? The truth is from the what about Ketanim? Says the Shach, V'chein tino katan miu lo nagu l'kral katan miu b'katan shalomein mikra tzarech l'kral l'chal v'ruz king kasav bach. Says, and likewise a katan, the Marshal says we don't do it for a katan, but a katan who learns chumash, then we already do. So he goes back and forth a lot. The Berhetev quotes from the Radvaz. This is the Shach. The Berhetev, here you have Berhetev with parentheses, right? That means he adds something that's not in the Shach and the Taz. He quotes in Sefer Irich Lechem in the name of the Radvaz that you tear for a katan but not a katana. Interestingly, maybe a katan but tear if that first Rashi. The katan is a fiat fam Torah, not a katana. Again, the Chilas quote Michael, who is in the like opposite from the Beis Yosef. However, the Pesachei Chuvins have gotten Gimel Kosmet Filo Lamoshe that you're Korea even on a Katana. Even on a Katana says that Filo Lamoshe quoted in the Pesachei Chuva, etc., etc. Thought it was Gimel. Vayin the same Filo Lamoshe that's the Chayle Kroa, etc., etc., etc. So here you have this certainly matches the Tefillah Lamoshe, or Teferis Lamoshe. There are two, I think this actually might be Teferis Lamoshe. There is such a book. But we'll just read it. Teferis Lamoshe says, even for the, who says we're not Noahig? The Shach quotes the Marshal. Lo nagru l'kro al hakatan, but yes, on an isha, this would fit the minhag of the Maharshal quoted in the Shach. Then there's the Radvaz who says a katan, but not a katana. Why would it be a kat an isha and a katan, but not a katana? That seems to be a tseraf of two svaras. An isha and a katan, but not a katana. L'chor, he'd be saying a katan because of the chiyuv on the Torah. And Isha, because she's full of Torah mitzvos, but a Ketana has neither of those. So that would be sort of a tseraf of these two. Would be the Radvaz. Hatan Avalo Ktana. And obviously, Isha, he's not arguing. Isha Katan Avalo Ktana. And then you have the Shtach. What does the Shtach say? A Katan Shloman Mikra. That all seems to be a Tzeref. Shtach Ish Veisha V'Katan Shalom Ad Mikra. Just, you know, what kind of katan do you say? He's a Talmud Torah only if he started learning and he's already Gil Chinuch, or even if he didn't start learning yet. Anyway, Lemaisa, it is a Lemaisa, it is a big machlokest. One second. Lemaisa is a big machlokes. To whom this chiyuv extends? Does it extend even to a katan, even to a ketana? There's no clear hachra in the poskim for reasons that I'll mention in a moment. Halach lemaisa. It would seem that Rove Poskim think a katan yes, maybe a katana no. Let's do a few details and I'll say why. What? No, for sure for Isha. That's already just like the Ramban accuses Rashi of, but no one takes seriously. No one takes seriously excluding an Isha. So Ramban accuses Rashi. No one ever is on record as saying it doesn't apply to an Isha. That's what the Ramban accuses Rashi of. No one actually comes out saying that. So that's not even suffering at all. Let's go through a few more details. What are some other details here? Give me a second. What if someone dies on Shabbos? What do you do? So the Ber Hetev quotes from the Radvaz, and it's also in the Pesach Chubas of Katan Gimel, the Ber Hetev said it was Potter, and then the Tiferes Lamosha said that you were Chayiv the Tira when Shabbos ends, and the Chasam Sofer went back and agreed with the Radvaz, there's no chiyuv. We assume, like the Chasam Sofer and the Radvaz, there's no chiyuv. If someone dies on Shabbos, assume the same thing for the Kotel. So it's also a chiyuv. We assume you go to the Kotel on Shabbos, you're not chayiv to turn Motzei Shabbos. Obviously, they don't have any turn Shabbos because that's malacha. There's also discussion because of the Chuba Gimel. What if someone turns around so he doesn't see the fellow die? He's in the room. So he's still chayiv to chair. That's still called being there. Like, it's not a good excuse. Let's read a little more. Haga, aval rogil lasos aveira amos avalav kolshkein on marmalav what is chavim. But if someone's rugged lasos aveira, someone always does averos, not someone who sometimes does averos, right? Sometimes says averos, they're not an adam kosher. Again, I mean, once did an aver, did tshuva. Someone sometimes does averos, they're not an adam kosher, but they're still considered Jew in good standing. However, if someone always does averos, then they're a mummer. Someone sometimes does averos, not an adam kosher, but not a mummer. He's a kosher yet. Someone always does averos is a mummer, and kolshkein if someone actually converted to another religion, and therefore there'd be no avelos for them at all. They'd be mufka for avelos. They're like not even considered having any privilege to be Jewish. They're mufka for avelos. Okay, nowadays our minhag is that we say tinuk shenishba. First of all, even the averos, someone who always does averos, doesn't mean someone always does averos that, like, in his community, people think is mutter. That the Gemara has many examples of people who, and that we don't consider them a mummer. They're not another kosher, but they're not a mummer. Meaning someone who always does averos, they're just, you know, whatever their lifestyle is, that they always do averos. Without trigger, do I have to do a trigger warning? Chaim Walter, great example, right? So he didn't once do an Aveira. I don't think he should once do that either, obviously. But he didn't once do an Aveira. His lifestyle was that he always did Aveiros. So he wasn't a Mormon Lavodos Kochavim. He, you know, was officially an Orthodox Jew. But that would be a Russia that Amos Avonah loved because he always does Aveiros. Okay. Here it's a little tricky because I don't know if you're a heterotin of Shanishba. Whatever, like. Outside society doesn't think we should do that. Okay, sorry, I'm not posting that. These things are sensitive when it comes to the families. But I think clearly, you know, you don't have to tear Kriya if you're there when he dies, because not only is he not another kosher, someone who's wrong in Lasso Savera. That's called Porish Vidar Gitzibar. Porish Vidar Gitzibar. So Porish Vidar Gitzibar, then, and he doesn't have an excuse of, that's why it's more chomer to like do things that are against all civilization, that things are only against the Jewish religion. Because if you things are only against the Jewish religion, you could say Tinuk Shenishva, you know, in the secular world, you are influenced, you know, by the power of the outside world to you were forced to be not from. It's hard to say you were forced to just be a terrible criminal because the outside world doesn't give you messages you should do that. So, okay, that's a little food for thought. Lemaisa, what do we say? Ragalaso Saveira, Amos Abel of Klal. There's a big chumra. There's no shiv at all for someone's portion of Darkei Tzibra. Nowadays, our minhag is to, in most cases, say to sit shiva and say Tinuk Shenishba. But Kolshkin, I'm more than a for sure, if someone converts. V'yesh Omrim, let's go talk about an actual Tinuk Shenishba before we get back to our case. You know what? Let's say one more halacha about this kriya before we, because at this point we've already stopped talking about kriya b'shas tzias shomer. We're talking about kriya b'ila, like any true religious of Judaism. That modern day poskim, right? This is found in the Stei Chemed, it's found in the Das Torah of the Maharsham, it's found in a couple other svarim. The modern day poskim, right? That nowadays we're not nohig to do sifchas, even though there is no halachic justification. Even though there's no halachic justification, we're not nohig sifhei. We're not nohig to do sifhei, even though there's no halachic justification. Why? How can we not be nohig to do sifhei when there's no halachic justification? So they say it must be a takana of the later generations or something. Now, what's the problem? Exactly, right? Remember why Hillel made a prosbul? Did Hillel make a prosbul because he thought he knew better than the Torah about Shemitah's Ksafim? I hope the answer is no. Hillel made a prosbul because he said, of course you knew Shemitah's Ksafim. But Shemitah's Ksafim is causing people to do a worse idea of not letting money in the first place. And therefore, better to make it nakana against Shemitah's Ksafim than have people do a worse idea. Remember, we learned in Shin Lamed Tes, if Dalid, it's a terrible thing to let someone die alone. What happened? People didn't want to tear Kriyas. They were letting everyone die alone. And therefore, it must be, we don't know, like, it's not that we know someone made this takana. But the man Yechonim say, nowadays we're in such a low madrega that we care so little about other people that we would just let them die alone if we have to tear Kriya. Therefore, we don't do sifhei anymore to avoid the bigger problem of letting them die alone. Right? It's more common to be with them and not tear Kriya than to run away and let them die, you know, alone, so that we don't have to cure Kriya. Okay, in my humble opinion, I think.
Isn't the whole point here that the minhag just became to not cure Kriya? I think they were five and they were one left. Why do we care that they died on their brother's Dvaravira?
No, not the Dvaravira. I'm talking about Stam Sifhei. I'm not talking about the guy Dvar Vigor anymore. I'm talking about a regular person. The meaning is that no one is in a hospital when someone dies or a non-hospital when someone dies to your Kriya. Why? So the Achronim suggest maybe because we sort of in our low level in our Madrega, otherwise people would just let them die alone and therefore it's better and not to your Kriya. Okay. Michael would say, and I would agree with him, that that doesn't necessarily mean everyone should take advantage of this minhag. This is not a holy minhag that everyone's high to take advantage of. We don't have a record that some specific rabbi made a takan about this. It just seems to be a justification. So it might really be better for someone to do this halacha. But lemaisa, again, for doctors and such, then it would sort of be in the door. So I don't know how you could be mocked on this. Although doctors often have a heter that they're wearing the hospital's clothing. And therefore, they are torn from Kriya because it's not there. What?
We'll get more.
No. I'm not talking about what doctors really do. I'm talking about what Dr. Halachli Chayv do, which is being knocked on the property of the hospital. You're not allowed to your hospital property. You're also not allowed to take it home and give it to your kids.
And they wear clothes underneath the hospitals.
Do they?
Why don't we?
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I wouldn't tell a doctor to be knocked on this because really, England are so bad. You know, you don't want the doctor to even have a havamina of saying, you know, I'm going to run away because he might die. Or, you know, I'm not going to treat him because he might die. I wouldn't want to tell the nurses to be awkward on this because also, in the self and what? So the nurses shouldn't take care of someone who dies. Who is going to take care of them when he dies? If there's a Stam person, then okay, maybe they should be awkward. But the mice, the minute all of us do make what?
Don't tear one. They'll just keep that.
They didn't walk around the hospital with torn clothing. I don't know.
You may also say that we don't.
Okay. Lamaisa, the Minhag HaOlam is to be Mekel, the death, the justification I've seen in the Achronim. And the Minhag HaOlam is to be Mekel. Okay. Lamaisa, the Minhag HaOlam is to be Mekel. The truth is that according to our mind, you can also do it from the bottom of the clothing. So maybe it's a little less, but the Lamaisa. Okay, the Minhag HaOlam is to be Mekel. The Minhag HaOlam is to be Mekel. You know, is that in every circumstance everyone should always be Mako? I don't know. Minhag HaOlam should be Mako, and you know, the this maybe this is a case of Minhag HaOker HaLacha. Okay, let's continue in the discussion of bad Jews. The Ragel lasts a very Amos Ablon love, because this is not just about Sifhei. It's saying whoever doesn't get the Kri of Sifhei also doesn't get a Velos at all. A mummer, here mummer, they mean in the literal sense, someone who converted to Christianity. If he was killed by the goyim, then he gets avelos. Why? The Shach quotes in the Levush, the Ataris Zahav, says because if the goyim, if he converted to the goyish religion, the goyim killed him anyway, then he obviously realized he was stupid and he was maharger of tshuva. But the Shach says, no, that's not the reason. If you look in the Makoros, that is not the reason. He says the reason is since he was killed shelo al pidin, that's a kapara, right? If he was killed by Bezdin, then that's not a kapara, full kapara yet. And then there's still no avelos. But if he was killed by goyim shelo al pidin, then that's a big onesh. That big onesh misa mechaperis. So that's a wipaskin that if you have like anti-Semites who kill a Jew, even if the Jew converted to Christianity, then that's a big enough kapara that we still avails for him. Likewise, a kid who was baptized with his parents, even though he's an anus, you do avails for him. Why? Because he's literally tinuk. He's literally tinuk shenishva. He was a tinuk, and his parents took him and baptized him and brought him up as a Catholic. What's he supposed to do? The Amos Ablon Chin Iker, the Rav says we don't pass that. We pass even the tinuk shenishva, there's no avails. The Chin Iker, that there's no avails even on the tinuk shenishva. Haporshim Darkei Tzibur, people who separate from Darkei Tzibur means to do averos. Afli she'im misavlon, you're not misavlon on them. Misavlon b'neihem, you are misavlon b'neihem. So this is a funny one. What's the chiluk of this Ramah? Ramah says that when it comes to literal tinuk shenishva, and of course we can apply it to our modern day tinuk shenishva also, the literal tinuk shenishva, if his parents baptized him, brought him to church and baptized him, there's no avelos. But if his parents just made him not from, then there is avelos. What's the difference? Not so clear what the difference is. It seems to me there's a big yesod in this Ramah. The big yesod in the Ramah is that we treat people who aren't from, and even the Gemara says anyone who's a mummer machal shabbos for hesia is like a mummer kolator pool is like a mummer lagol bazara. No, we treat people who are Jews who aren't from and people who reject Judaism and join another religion differently, even if they both don't keep the Torah. Because even though I'm not saying what's a worse avera, the point is if you're porish bidarak yitzibra, if you still remain a Jew but you're not from, then if you're a tinuk shenishva, then that's only a moral evil. And if you're a tinuk shenishva, it's not your fault, so what can we do? But if you manage to go to another religion, that's not only a moral evil. It's also being in a different nation. And if you're in a different nation, then even if it's not your fault, you're in a different nation. You've left our nation. I know how luckily there's no chalos of converting to another religion. That's why Leon is making a questioning face. But apparently, the Ramah saying you're a big minhag. This is, of course, which famous article of Liechtenstein, which famous court case in Israel? Brother Daniel, right? Famous case with Brother Daniel, a Jew who converted to Christianity and applied under the law of return to make Aliyah to Israel. And the law of return actually says, I think that he doesn't have the right to make Aliyah to Israel. And he says, but what do you mean? But al pi halacha, I'm just as much a Jew as anyone else. Yisrael pi shachati Yisraelu, right? It is actually said, not the original drasha, but the case of the Gemara, even on Mormon level of Zari, even someone converts to Christianity or whatever Zari they have in your case. So he says, but I'll be halacha. I'm just as good a Jew as someone who doesn't keep Shabbos and eats treif. You're going to say whoever doesn't keep Shabbos and eats treif doesn't have a law of return? Yeah, I mean, that's the prime minister, you know? That's what Brother Daniel timed it. Not the current one. Sorry. Not the current one. And I don't think Bigan ate treif either. But at least all the others. So this is a famous case, and all the Rabbanim wrote about this, and the Supreme Kar Paskin based on Israeli law. All the Rabbanim wrote this, and Rav Lichtenstein basically wrote, he said, no, there's a difference between a Jew who doesn't keep the mitzvos and a Jew who leaves our religion and joins another religion. A Jew who doesn't keep the mitzvos is still, even if he can't find a concrete halacha nafkamina, a Jew who doesn't keep the mitzvos is still a Jew, just a bad Jew. A Jew who goes and becomes Brother Daniel, you know, and becomes a Christian, has left the Jewish fold, and we no longer owe him anything, and he doesn't deserve to live in our country. And I really think the mucker of that is this Ramah. Parsha Midarkei Tzibur, if their kids are Tinush and Nishba, they're still considered good Jews. But baptizing, even if the kid's not at fault at all, because he's Tinush and Nishba, L'maisa, he still left our religion. And I think basically what Rulofsky was saying is that the same for the adult Tinoch Shanishpa. You know, someone who's not from the modern day world, because the modern day world influenced them to be not from, then you know, we can say, okay, we're still relate to them as a fellow Jew. Someone who something in the modern day world and their surroundings of where they grew up, you know, called to convert to another religion, Lamaisa, they're out of our community and we don't owe them anything. I think the mucker is really this Ramah, that the Tinu Shanishba of Parshim Darkei Tzibur is considered kosher, but the Tinu Shanishba of a Mormon level of Zara is considered, you know, not someone who we owe anything to anymore. And there's no avails. Okay, so this is a very important Hashgaf / Lamaisa Ramah. That's what I was talking about. He's kidnapped by his parents. If a kid is kidnapped by Goyim and brought up as a Catholic, the Ramah would say it's totally not his fault, but we're not misabel for him. As opposed to if a kid was brought up by Chilonim, kidnapped by Chilonim and brought up, or even kidnapped by Goyim, but kidnapped by liberal Goyim and brought up as a Jew who isn't religious, then that would be different.
And then,
I mean, you could say a lot of things. Okay, I'm giving one shot based on our list.
Yes,
interesting. Right. So I wonder if the Chazanish might say that's only people who aren't from, like Chiluni Israelis. But maybe he would admit that people who, you know, were brought up in Russia and converted to Christianity, because that was the thing to do there, you know, the back once upon a time, actually not in communist Russia. Okay, I don't know. He wasn't discussing people going to Christianity because that wasn't on his radar screen. He was discussing Chiluni Israelis. But Russians who grew up in communism, who, you know, were, you know, brought up as atheists by the atheistic Stalinist government. They were not pressured to convert to Christianity. I wonder if based on this Ramah, the Chazanish might be Mechalik, but I don't know. But Lamaisa, nowadays, let's make one thing clear. Nowadays, basically, whoever's not from Morris Abel for it, basically, whoever's not from Morris Abel for, based on the Chazanish Mori quoted, based on Tinu Shanishba, I know the Ramah's case of Tinu Shanishba is a literal Tinok, but nowadays, you know, based on the Chazanish, and the Chazanish really goes back to the Rambam, you know, who he just expands the Rambam, that we treat the non-from Jews nowadays as Tinu Shanishba. So nowadays, we're misabel for people who aren't from. However, based on this Ramah, I think we would still not be misabel for people who converted to another religion. And perhaps there could be some cases where we're not misabel for someone who's not from, and in the circumstance, let's say they didn't have an excuse of Tinu Shanishba. Or there'd definitely be more room to talk about in certain, you know, sensitive cases where it gets complicated. Yesh, definitely yesh amaladun.
where like put myself up on the side of parents who are are bereaved of a child who decided to convert to Christianity. Can I imagine any Rob saying like, "Oh, sorry, no show for you"?
It's a good question. It's a good question. Based on this Ramah, it seems pretty blushed. And the Ramah's even saying there's no heter tino shenishba. He's saying there's no heter literal tino shenishba. Kol shekain figurative tino shenishba. I don't know what you would do. You'd have to imagine.
What's the answer to this question? Meaning, if we don't hold that there's batashas by the kriya, so finally we'll look into kriya. And so
I never said the noble tashas by kriya. So the noble tashas would do a bigger kriya. So the tashas for tearing for no reason. Okay. Although so you have a smach for the, you do have a smach for the kriya, which we'll get to in a moment.
Maybe a pound to go there was not necessary.
It's a good question. It's a good question. What about aninos? What about bittul Torah? What about, yes, I am. Look, we'll have to come to it. Remind me to come to it when we discuss avelos for no reason. Let me point out one last thing is this Taz. Says the Taz, famous story. What did Benu Gershom do? Benu Gershom or Agola? Anyone remember what he did? Why? Says, oh, what did his son do? And not everyone knows. He converted to Christianity, right? There are many Gedolim sons converted to Christianity. It's really astounding how many Gedolim's kids converted to Christianity. Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. There was no Christianity then, but the equivalent. Chazal tell us, Rabbi Gershom's son, the Alter Rebbe's son, etc. The Chabadniks are very upset when you say that. It doesn't matter. But let's pretend I didn't say that. They really don't like it. Anyway, Lemaisa, so the Taz brings down that when Rabbi Gershom's son died, he sat 14 days instead of 7. So the son converted to Christianity and died. He says, Kal v'chomer l'shechina yodalad yom, if just for a person we sit 7 days here, when this person denied Hashem converted to Christianity, he died 14 days. Okay, that's not our minhag. That's just what he did. But I'll point out just one interesting thing, that there are two different gersos what happened here. He is quoting from the Hagos Ashri in Elul Megalchin, who I'm not sure who he's quoting from, but in the Or Zeruah, where does it say? Hagos Ashri Elul Megalchin Nun Tes. The Hagos Ashri in Elul Megalchin Simon Nun Tes quotes this story. And he says, we're going to Gershon is Abel, but no, Shehimer, Dossel, Yud, Dal, Yom, Kavachom, Lashkina, our boss are Yom. But notice that he has a certain Gersh here. We're going to Gershon, Yashom, no, Shehimer, Dossel, Umes, Yud, Dal, Yom. In the actual Agosha Shri, he says, Nis Abel, but no, Shehimer, Dossel, Yud, Dal, Yom. He doesn't say Umes. And therefore, it's a big machlokus what Rabbi Gershom did. His Gersh is very clear. When his son shmadid and died, he sat 14 days. However, if you just read the Pshat, Shehimer Dossel Yod Dalet Yom, sounds like when he converted, he sat 14 days. Not when he died. When he died, who cares? When he converted. And from here, the minhag became, if anyone ever knows people from the old days, what do they used to do if someone intermarried? They would sit shiver for them. Not when they died. It would sit shiver for them when they intermarried. Where did this minhag come from of sitting shiver when someone intermarries? It came from the other girsa. Not the Taz Gersa, the other Gersa. If you look at Hagos Ashri, he obviously had different Gersa that are printed Hagos Ashri. He says, Shehimer Dosso, not Shehimer Dosso Umes, that he sat when he converted. His son was baptized right away, he sat 14 days. Okay, so we hold dialogue when then leaves. Can he know? Only 7 days? That's why the minig is that when someone's kid converted or married out, they would sit Shiva 7 days, like Rabbeinu Gershom, not when they died, not the Taz version, the other version of Rabbeinu Gershom, the version that we have in our Hagos Ashri and Or Zeruah. That as soon as this happened, they would sit Shiva 7 days. Okay, this is the minhag, because Rabbi Gershom is not saying it's al din. Nowadays, I think the minhag is that when people intermarry, unfortunately, Rabbana Litzlan, because it's become like in our liberal world, it's intermarriage is not what it once was. Meaning, once upon a time, intermarriage was very different than being not from. If you intermarry, you're basically leaving the Jewish people forever. And you might as well convert. Nowadays, we live in a very different era where if you're intermarriage, basically means you're not going to be from. But if you're not from, then Adrava, all the conservative and reform rabbis are intermarried. They think it's a mitzvah to intermarry. If you ask the reform rabbis, they say Adrava is a mitzvah to intermarry because it's usher to be racist. I'm not making this up. I can give you, I can footnote it if you want. I can footnote it if you want.
It's also a number.
No, but that's not their part. They really think it's a mitzvah according to the values of the Torah to intermarry. And again, we live in a very different world. And I heard this from Lifstein also, that nowadays when people intermarry, it doesn't mean what it meant when they once intermarried. It means being not from, unfortunately. I'm not saying it's good, but it's not really a different madriga. It's not a quantum difference if someone intermarries than if they're just not from. Because even if it is a quantum difference, Lamaisa, once upon a time intermarrying, let me say better. I don't want to be, make an intermarriage. Once upon a time, so intermarried, it meant that they decided they were turning their back on Judaism. Nowadays, if someone intermarries, it just means they're being a non-from Jew. Because that's what we do if we're Jewish and we're not so from. So therefore, it's not the same as converting. It's not the same as the shmad. It's a terrible, sad thing. But it's not the same as the shmad. And therefore, I think nowadays, not everyone has the minhag to sit shiva if they're getting intermarried, Rachmana Litzlan. I think seeing that you don't sit shiva if you're getting intermarried, Rachmana Litzlan. In the old days, people did. Okay, I don't want to embarrass more people, right? Very famous rabbi that we've heard of from America from two generations ago, sat shiva when his daughter intermarried. But nowadays, I realize just Lashon Hara, I shouldn't have said about the Alter Rebbe. You should know that Chabad Tainis might have been a Shota, and therefore it doesn't count. There's what to talk about. They even claim maybe he didn't really convert to Christianity. He just it was a Shota, and they had him write a sign of paper that he was converting, but he didn't even understand what it meant. So there is, there is another side to the story. Again, the official Chabad side to the story is that he was such a Shota that they just got him to say he was doing whatever he wanted because he didn't understand what Christianity was and what conversion was. And so, if someone's a Shota, then, you could obviously get them to do whatever you want because they don't understand what they're doing. Sure. Anyway, Kitzer, that's where the minute comes from. And I don't know exactly how much they're knowing this nowadays, particularly with intermarriage, because I think one time intermarriage was like converting, and nowadays it's just like being a modern person.
Just to clarify the case of Rabbi Gershon, I thought the Taz was commenting on Shanera Abidei Abram, and that's because the Abidei can't have a Kachar, but he said Shiva, is it possible?
Yeah, but no, but then he was just throwing in a side point. Rabbi Gershon's son was not killed by Abram. It says Umes. Umes means not Nera.
How come Rabbi Gershon's cell phone wasn't stopping to die on 7?
What's that called, a homer from the Shkina?
Oh, sorry. I'll jog your memory, right? Rashi at the end of Parshas Baaloscha, and the Gemara also mentions, of course, in Ketzer Regel, in the Dayo Sugya. The Rashi at the end of Baaloscha says that Hashem says to Moshe about Miriam, the Avia, you wrote your Akfonel, let's believe Shavas Yomim, the Ger Shavas Yomim, your heart to say. If her father spit in her face, she'd be embarrassed 7 days. So if Hashem yells at her, she should for sure be embarrassed 7 days. So she says 7 days in Chutz L'Machne. But the Sogera Miriam Michutz L'Machne Shiva Yamin. But the Gemara who says in that Rashi brings down there in the Chumash, the end of Baloska, that really should be Kalva Chomer the Shkini Yodalad Yom. If her father embarrassed her, she wouldn't show her face for 7 days. If Hashem yells at her, she wouldn't show her face for 14 days. That's a rule of diet. Welcome to Din Leoskanidong. You can only can't make the Havachomer worse than it originally was, so it's only 7. But apparently, Rabbi Gershom says, no, really, we see Shekhinah is twice as bad as a parent, as a relative. So therefore, I have to sit 14 days. Why didn't he use the rule of Dayo? I don't know. I assume because Dayo is a halachic rule, and he was saying, okay, this is how I feel. It's just a minhag, not a halacha, so I'm not bound by Dayo. But it's interesting, nowadays, the minhag is to use Dayo. I never heard of anyone say 14 days when their kid intermarries, only 7 days. Okay, but in any case, the origin of the whole intermarriage thing is from this Rabbi Gershom, who made it up, just as a svara/feeling, etc. think the assumption of the postgame is not a Svorik mover in a Gersley Poskin. It's a Minhut that he did. I guess so. I guess people play Chivikov to comfort him, right? I mean, he's a lot in the comma. You know, it would be a funny thing. Again, I haven't really seen people do it nowadays, I must admit. I haven't really seen people do it nowadays. And unfortunately, you do have intermarriage. But I haven't seen people do this. And maybe because, you know, it's a different world. And in those days, intermarriage meant you were basically joining another religion or having no religion. And nowadays, it just means you have a, you know, a liberal Judaism. Not to mention the fact that perhaps once upon a time when you got married, it actually meant something for the long term. And nowadays, you know, having nothing with intermarriage, but marriage, the chlal, is not what it once was. So it's more like, you know, what mood you're in today. So maybe it's not such a big deal. That's quite possible. Meaning once upon a time, marriage was, what did they say? Till death do us part, our neighbor said. They might still say it, but they don't, but it's worms to believe of a leaf called Adam that they don't mean it. You know, it means till, you know, till we're not in the mood anymore. So,
could be the
Harv
son is
the
real son, Harv should tell him also. Meaning now that son, who is intermarried, should,
Yeah. Oh, I sorry, I didn't follow. Okay, Victor. Anyway, I really do enjoy, by the way, getting to go so slow. I'm enjoying it for this year. It's going to be a favorite year, and hopefully I'll be able to say I got to go slow because I'm stalling. Sifvav. Al Adam Kosher. She'eino Kosher al Shema Veir. What about the next madrig, Adam Kosher? What does Adam Kosher mean? Adam Kosher means not a Talmud Chacham, but an Adam Kosher. Again, some of us may have only been brought up in like modern day Yeshivish Ashkenazi Judaism. And we think the only person who's an Adam Kosher is a Talmud Chacham. But once upon a time, they were like Pasha Yidden, who were tzaddikim. Not tzaddikim, meaning that they did tikkun chatzos and they found, you know, chumras in the Orzaruah and the, you know, Meiri and whatever. But like Pasha Yid, who just always wanted to do the right thing and, you know, and keep all the mitzvahs. There's still people like that, right? I'm sure some of us have stories, right? Right, back in the day, my Zaidi, my great-grandfather, he didn't know anything. He didn't get a Jewish education in those days, you know, when he was supposed to go to like the equivalent of high school, whatever, you know, he was drafted into the army and this and that, and it was a different world in Europe. But, you know, he was a Yerei Shemayim who would never want to do an Avera. Okay, there are a lot of people like that. There's still people like that nowadays. Al-Adam Kosher, Sheinu Chashal Shomayim, we're not coaching him for any Avera. Doesn't mean he never did an Avera. That's against the Teva. It means we're not coaching him to do any Avera. You know, if he did any Avera, he did Shuvah, and he didn't repeat it, right? Someone who just, he doesn't do Avera. So lo shom bedol mitzvah, he's not vatal mitzvos. Lo soni shemane, there are no bad rumors about him. Afi shein gadol haTorah, even though he doesn't know a lot of Torah, he obviously knows something, but he doesn't know a lot of Torah, not a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't know how to learn Gemara. Afi bishlo omer shasiyas, shom ha-chayv l'kroa lov, even if you weren't there when he died, you're chayv to your kriya for him. V'husha omer shom b'misa l'kvura, as long as you it's before the kvura. V'tameicham patur mikruzucha. Okay, give me a second. Tameicham mar pater wikes if kvura Torah, it's not kvura Torah for a Talmud Chacham to your kriya for someone who's not a Talmud Chacham. Nefra tameicham mar paturim. But if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you are chayav in this kriya. What does it mean? Omeid sham. What the pshat in omeid sham? Only if. It sounds like omeid sham. Only if you're actually physically with the mace. Timis and kfura. You know, not you there when he dies. Then that would be said. Hey, you're at the funeral. But if you look in the Shach, he quotes, it sounds like only if you're physically with the mace, but he wants to pass, and this is the big machlokas. This is the big machlokas Rishonim. Is it only if you're physically with the mace, or even if you just hear the news? The Rush and the Ramban hold only if you're the Ramban and the Ravid hold only if you are there, but the Tor, quoting the Rush, it's a big machlokas what the Rush meant, But the Torah, quoting the Rosh, says wherever you are. So what does the Shach say? So is it only if you're physically there or if you hear the news? Torah and the Rosh say, he's Rosh according to the Torah and the Bach, say even if you hear the news, says the Shach, he quotes the Bach. The Bach says, I pass like the Rosh in the Torah, that even if you're not physically there, and says the Shach, he thinks that also the Mechaber means, because even though here it doesn't say that way, but in Or Chaim, the Mechaber sounds that way. So the Mechaber Or Chaim sounds more like the Torah and the Rosh, even if you're not physically present. The Mechaber here sounds more like the Ramban and other Rishonim, only if you're physically present. Lamai said some Machlokes, and the Shach, what's be Machmir, even Shach and the Bach, even if you're not physically present. Shach brings some other, he has a lot of Chumras. He also quotes in Yud Gimel, that from the Rive and the Rosh, that even Tamicham are Chayim against the Mechaber. It's two Chumras against Pshat and the Mechaber here. One, even if you're not physically there. Two, even if you're a Talmud Chacham. However, he has one kula in Sukkot and Yud Aleph, quotes from the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ramban, he quotes the Bach, quoting them, that only if it's someone who like runs after mitzvahs, like who's eager to do mitzvahs, not if it's someone who just doesn't do things wrong. He has to also be eager to do mitzvahs. Okay, still a lot of Yidden like that. Lemaisa, what do we do with all these things? The Beis Yosef quotes, this is the opinion of most Rishonim based on Pshat in the Gemara. But the Rav Yah holds differently. The Rav Yah says, the Gemara is about Kriya. And it says, it brings up Raisa, you have to cry and mourn for an Adam Kosher who dies. So Pshat is anterior Kriya. But he quotes Rav Yah, says, no, you misunderstood. You could tear, but you don't have to tear. You just have to cry and mourn. Says the Rav Yah. Which would be our minis we make like the Rav Yah. What does the Rav say? The Ran and the Agos Ma'amini in the name of the Rav Yah. Okay, our minis we make like the Rav Yah, that really you only have to cry and mourn for an Adam Kosher. Mourn, it doesn't mean keep the halacha of eight. It just means like to be sad. You have to be sad when you hear that an Adam Kosher died. Can't be blasé about it, but you don't have to do Kriya. Okay, our minog Ashkenazim, I think Sfardim also nowadays, even though.
That's all these things in, throughout like, the whole synagogue, where Ahmad jumps in, like, yeah, but Yishomer, Meitar, Yishomer, like, Shomer doesn't say that. Are Sfardim also knowing now, like, all these Ashkenazi Ramad things?
I'm not sure. It's a good question.
Otherwise, they should be.
Otherwise, Sfardim should be buying a new shirt every day. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm just not sure. Okay, there's a lot of machlokos here, but they're not sort of gilamaisa. Like, who do we possibly like Shach Mechaber and all these things? We're not getting into them. Pesach Chubin's got above also quotes a suffix of whether an Isha has a din of Adam Kosher. But the Badei Shulchan says that he doesn't really see Makom for that suffix. Like, if a Faran kick Kosher, what's the difference between Isha or Isha? So he doesn't think that that's a valid suffix. Okay. So but again, it's all theoretical because nowadays we don't do it anyway. So theoretically, there's a lot more machlokos. There's a lot more achros and achronim. But lamais, so we don't do this anyway because our minhag is like the Rav Yah. Okay, this is the minhag. Where is that? Okra Allah. Okay, the minhag is like the Rav Yah. It's a little weird. The minhag is like the Rav Yah, but Rav Yah is also Rishon. So we don't do this. We only have to be, but you have to be machlokos.
What does that mean, being
machlokos to be
both? A person should literally force himself to cry. How do you, if you're not saying Kriya, then so, like what are the parameters of Misavim? Like what the mice are without
it? I think it means use your common sense, like to really take it to heart. You know,
Misavim doesn't mean my dad's goal.
It doesn't mean Nihuga Vilos, Alpich Shochanar, Chilchazavilos. It means to be very sad. Right? You should take it very seriously and very sad when Adam Kosher dies. Now, but what might Boche Umis Abel mean? Pischei Tshuva. No, sorry. I meant the Gilyan Marsha. Look at the Gilyan Marsha on the side here. Aladim Kashu, Mvarchla, Birkers, Dayan Emes, Beshemu Malchus, Magen Avraham, Beshem Abach. Meaning, Rishchav Gimhas, and Hokus Brachos, Brachav Dayan Emes, right? It says, Bochum is Abel means Dayan Emes, right? You know, Kirkriya. We're making them Kirkriya. You have to say Dayan Emes, Beshemu Malchus. Excuse me, if you hear that Adam Kosher died. Because if you're really Bochum is Abel, then it's Besoros Rose. So you have to say Dinah Shemu Malchus. But in the Knesset Gedol, he's Mefakpeh. No, maybe no Shemu Malchus, even Mesti Day, even for a relative. Even for a relative. And when it says Dinah, because maybe the Dinah Emerson Shas just means it's part of Bigsan Mazar in those days. So That's a, here we have been a kutz al kutz of the Magen Avraham says dayan emes on any adam kosher. Who's it going here? The Knesset Agdola says not even for a relative. Okay, what is our minhag? The Mishnah Brura and Reish Chaf Gimel. So Katan Ches says, says the Mishnah Brura, says the psak is like the Magen Avraham, that you should say it b'shemu malchus, even for any adam kosher, but the minhag is in between. The minhag is in between. Ha'olam nogin levarch below shemu malchus, etc. But on karo vada yusra brach of shemu malchus. The minhag olam is on krov and we say dayanus b'shemu malchus, but on an adam kosher, the minhag is say without shemu malchus. Mishabur doesn't think this is the ikar din. If the minhag is to say for an adam kosher without shem malchus, but one interesting thing says the Mishnah Berura. I'll read the whole Mishnah Berura. So it says, "Avim bark dayin emes." Says the Mishnah, "Who had then shared them kosher? Shared them mitzvah law. That would be called shmos rosh. If you have them mitzvah, it's a shmos rosh." Again, so we say it's not bad news to me. I don't care. Then they're not being the kain bochamus abel. I don't want to open my mouth. The Gemara says bad things will happen to someone. I don't want to be too specific. They're not bochamus abel when another kosher dies. You don't want to be there. So if you're bochum is abel, then it's bad news for you. If it's bad news, you say b'shem malchus. Do a chalash shmos rosh. Meanwhile, olam nogin levarit below shem malchus. Right. Whenever you hear someone dies, but you say baruch dynamis. Right. That's our minute. Whenever someone dies, you say baruch dynamis. Even if they're not in kosher, you say baruch dynamis without shem malchus. People only say shem malchus the relatives. However, he adds the second thing he adds. Then he says ve'ino nachum. It's not right. Really, you should say b'shem malchus, but l'maisa, the minhag is like Mr. Brura, that you say without shem malchus. Even though Mr. Brura says the minhag is eino nachum, and you should do like the Magen Avraham. But we follow the minhag, we say without shem malchus, but the Mr. Brura makes two exceptions. His second exception is, akrova shechayim sabalei vada yisper baruch shem malchus. That's poshut. What's his first exception? Val kolpan mal tamad chachem shemei sarku vada this only musmar mer alzeh. He says eino nachum, at least. Even he says, I know I'm not going to change the minute. At least on a Talmud Chacham, you should say b'shem malchus. And that's why it was a very interesting, it was a big debate. Lisa Chaim Kanievsky, right? Should you say dynamis b'shem malchus, or should you not say dynamis b'shem malchus? So the menu says, should say b'shem malchus. And the Shavur says, he says, the minute's wrong, but I'll call upon him. What will call upon me? I'm not going to change the minute. But at least for a Talmud Chacham, you should say b'shem malchus. It's really more ikra than in any other kosher. You should say b'shem malchus, not in any other. Not any other kosher b'shem malchus. So interestingly, based on this, Mr. Brewer really saying that when a Talmud Chacham dies, one should say b'shem malchus. I haven't seen people do this much either. But I know right now that there was a big debate in the, you know, in the, I'm too litvish. I'm always afraid of b'shem malchus, of brach l'vatala. So even I'll be minhag, maybe I shouldn't have been. Sorry for you. No, but the Mishnah Berurah knows that, and he still said this.
You clearly need that level of certainty.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting. It says the Mishnah Berurah, he thinks we should do like the Magen Avraham, but at least for a Talmud Chacham. The minhag is that for Krovim people do. For others, they say without Shem Malchus, they still say Baruch Dayanem. I mean, you should still say at least without the without Shem Malchus a little bit, you know, not that you really yotz in the Magen Avraham. Little credence to the Magen Avraham, at least in some sense, some emotional sense. For Talmud Chacham, that's what the Mishnah Berurah wrote. I don't know. I don't have a. I don't know what other people wrote there, but I don't remember anyone arguing. Okay, Zion. Al Chacham, the Al Talmud Chacham, Sholom Sol Dvar Lach B'chol Makom. How about a Chacham or a Talmud Chacham? On the level that you ask him at Dvar Halacha anywhere, and he says, and he knows, called Tarkula. It's not so clear what a Chacham or what a Talmud Chacham is. Meaning, clearly, Talmud Chacham doesn't mean someone who doesn't know so much. It means a Chacham or a Talmud Chacham, but who's enough a Talmud Chacham that you can ask him Halacha anywhere, and he knows it, which is not most people. So that's so clear what a Chacham or a Talmud Chacham is. It could, what?
Chacham
means someone who knows more than Dvar Halacha. Right. It could also be Chacham means like a job. Chacham means like the Rav of the Sig. You know, maybe Chacham means like Yamin. A Talmud Chacham means like someone who doesn't have any position, but nonetheless knows a lot. I know the Baal Shulchan wants to say Chacham means someone who doesn't learn by Rebbe, and because, you know, he's too smart to learn by Rebbe, Talmud Chacham, someone learned by Rebbe who knows everything. Okay, not clear. But Lamaisa, a Chacham or Talmud Chacham who knows all of Halacha, Koren Alav Fila Acher Kvura, he's more than Adam Kosher. And Adam Kosher, you only Korei Al Libet in the Machaber, Bein Visila Kvura. Talmud Chacham, even after Kvura B'Yom Shmu, if you heard that he died. Here, basically treated like another relative, treated like any relative. A relative, you hear that they died within 30 days, you tear, even after, if you hear after the kfura, right? Beforehand, that before modern communication, that was not an uncommon occurrence, right? That, so I'm finding out 3 weeks later that the relative died and was buried. Now, what are they going to do? Wait 3 weeks for the shmur to go and 3 weeks for him to come? So then they tear kriya. So likewise for a Talmud Chacham, tear kriya even after it's an shloshim. Borela b'shas espedo. And but when do you tear Chacham kvod b'espedo? The Gemara says during the hesped. Lo kar b'yom shua kar avers b'an espedo, lo kar shuva in kriya. If, basically, says the Ramah, you have two choices. Either the yom shmua, why it has to be a chimam. Either the yom shmua or the shas hesped. If you miss the yom shmua and you miss the hesped, then it's too late even if within shloshim. So that's even shloshim, either on the day you hear or the hesped. The koren alav ad shemegalos libo. How big of a kriya? Ad shemegalos libo, like a parent. But this is controversial because the shach says, according to the yesh omrim in sifches, kolshkin hachash in korea ela tefach. And according to the yesh omrim sifches, it should only be a tefach. And in some reish ben beis, it's basically the Rambam who says ad shemegalos libo. And in Reish Mem Beis, the Mechaber said, oh, he's against the Gemara, and answered up, no, maybe for Rebbe, but for Stam Talmud Chacham, he didn't really have a good answer. So the Shach is basically hinting that we, Paskin, you only need to tear a Tefach. Like, till under your heart. Literally reveal your heart. Till under the heart. So the Shach is basically being Machriya here, that it's only a Tefach. And the minig is talmidei chachamim everywhere tear a tefach on each other. Even though they're not each other's rebbeis, they're just a talmud chacham. They tear a tefach on each other. They tear a tefach on each other. But as the Ramah, this is all based on the day that a chacham means astam chacham. Why? Because where does this come from? It comes from the Gemara of Rav Sheshes, right? Mord Mord Katan. Maybe it's also Daf Kaflin based. A lot of the Kriyas are there. Said, give me a second. Where did I get the daf from? What daf is this in? Daf Chaf Hey. Says the Gemara. Yeah, here we are. Oh, that is this same Gemara. Sif Hey and Sif Vav. It talks about Rav Safra. And it says, give me a second. Chafei Amud Aleph. Yes. Here we are. When Rav Safra died, the rabbis didn't turn Kriya. They say we never learned from him. He's not a Rebbe. I'm not buying me Tanya Rav Sheis. It doesn't say Rebbe dies. Chacham Shemes time. Chacham Shemes. The Ode called Yom Shemes Befum. What do you mean you didn't learn from him? Every day we're saying over Shmos and the base matters. Like we never met him, but every day we're saying over Rav Sheish Zomar, Rav Sheish Zomar, etc. In the base matters. Then they thought it was too late. He said, no, as long as the hesped, it's still the time. Okay, so the question is, how do you read that? So here's Machlokes Rishonim, how to read. Machlokes Rishonim, how to read that Gemara. They say, it's Chacham not Rav. And also every day we learn what to say. The Rosh and the Ravid and the Rambam and the Ramban, they say that basically most of the Sfardi, or even the Rosh, half Sfardi, half Ashkenazi, most of them say that what that means is, he said two things. Number one, a Chacham, even if he's not your Rebbe, yet, your Kriya. And number two, he is your Rebbe, because you always learn, he's your indirect Rebbe, you always learn Shmos. However, says the Marami Rotenberg, and some is leading that goes Maimonios, etc., says, or maybe that goes Mordechai, no, that goes Maimonios, and he's also quoting the Rush. The Rush quotes the Marami Rotenberg, so they're right, even in the Ramban and the Rambam say, no, he's a Chacham. Say, no, you read it wrong. It doesn't say Rav, it says a Chacham, and not for Otis, two reasons. It says a Chacham, why? Because a Chacham, you're always learning his Shmos, and he's like your Rebbe because you learn his Shmos. Doesn't mean if he's a Chacham or you learn a Shmos. That's the latest far to read it. The Rabbi Rutenberg and Talmidav, the Ashkenaz read it. No. He's a Chacham and you learn his Shmos. That's what it means. And therefore, says the Ramav, only care if he's your Rebbe or you know his Shechidesh, you know his Chidesh Torah, the Haini Rabbo counts the Rebbe. The Ashkenazim, again, I think it's part of also nowadays, the Ashkenazim, at the very least, are no HB Mekel, that we hold, no. Chacham only means if he is your Rebbe, and the Shach is important to Zion. Paskins this way. He says that the Beis Yosef says, no, really, the Rosh and the other Rishonim are against him, and we don't pass like the Mara Rittenberg, but the Shach says, no, not only is it the Minhag, it's a better shot in the Gemara. And the Shach passed the way, and that's Minhag Ashkenaz, that we don't have a Chi of Kriya for a Chacham unless he's a Rebbe or you indirectly learned his Sfarim, etc. The Shach and Yudzayin says, the Bach says, if he's bigger than you, then you have to tear from either way, but the Shach rejects that, that's not true. Okay, so Lamaisa, we are Mekel like the Ramah. You only have to hear Kriya if you learn from him, not a Rabbi Mofa. You learn a little from him, or you know his Sfarim and his Fidusha.
Like here, Rav Chaim has to suck in to hear Corona. Would that be considered learning it, but knowing his Fidusha?
It's an interesting question, exactly. Like what, you know. I think if someone heard their psak now, but like not when they're learning yeshiva, they're learning it up, they just hear something, not to mention the fact that in later years, we're not really sure what he said. Because unfortunately in his, you know, later years, he was not necessarily able to control what everyone around him did. I don't know if that would count, but if someone like learns a Sfarim, if that's your go-to safer, on Klayim and Maestros is the Derech Emuna, then I think that would count. I don't want to start naming names. I don't want to give anyone a Nine Hara, so we'll have people who already passed away. You know, or Moshe Feinstein. I know a lot of Igros Moshes. You know, it's part of my Lima that I learn Igros Moshes. And there are live people also. I just don't want to give anyone a Nine Hara. The people is not, I know what they say in their sperm. I could tell you over, but I heard someone said once, and this is what they passed me without any reason, whatever. But, I know what these people say. They're part of my limud. Then there'd be a key of Kriya.
Really quoting them in Shir, we.
Yeah, if I quote someone in Shir, then, even if you never met them. Says the Shach and Yud Zayin, the end of Yud Zayin, Mishum Hakan, Itamash, Lonagur, the Krafilo, Chacham, Shiodom, Shwos, or Shechidish, Rafilo, Gavali, Menavain, Lamashi, Smoku. Our meaning is that even if someone's great, says, even if someone's greater than you and you know they're Shwos, you still don't tear. Now there's no one tears. Basically, now there's no one tears for anyone except relatives. And he says, Ain Lamashi, Smoku, I have no idea why we don't tear for Chacham nowadays. Then the Shach says, but I've shot. Maybe you're only Tamach Chacham if you know everything, even Maseches Kala. Like maybe you're Tamach Chacham if you know Mamish everything. And he adds, Perkasva Guda, Perkam Dechum, the Atva Venenu, ain't Tamach Chacham. Nowadays, maybe we just don't have any Tamach Chacham who knows everything. That's why Sifsayim doesn't apply. The Ain't Yodeal Film Maseches Kala. No one knows Maseches Kala. If you my real, etc. Okay, in other contexts, we say there's no such thing as Tamach Chacham nowadays. So maybe the reason why we're not knowing Sif Zion nowadays, again, we're not knowing Sif Hay, the modern Yechronim, 20th century Yechronim, came up with the Hasbro. Why we're not knowing Sif Bav? Baruch Hashem, the Ramah, found the Rav Yah. Why we're not knowing Sif Zion? The Ramah said half of it. Ah, I have my Rami Rutenberg that only if you learn from it. But why are we not even knowing that? So the Shach says, maybe because nowadays we don't have a Talmud Chacham. Okay, this was the big issue when Chaim Kanievsky passed away via yesterday. If there's one person you can't say he doesn't know everything, it's Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And you certainly can't say he doesn't know Maseches Kala. He wrote a Pirush on Maseches Kala. I think most Russian yeshiva nowadays don't know everything. I'm not trying to insult it. I think most Russian yeshivas nowadays, they don't know Tosefta well. They don't know Mechilta well. And they don't know Maseches Kala. But there are the exceptions, you know. Again, I don't want to start naming names because I don't want to insult by leaving anyone out. Rav Avad Yosef, I don't think anyone's kosher there was any book he didn't know. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I don't think he was gorishly achronim. I don't think anyone was kosher that there were any books of Chazal or, you know, major poskim that he didn't know. And no, like, you know, I'll head backwards and forwards, obviously, like all the stories prove. Right, whether or not the Chagav really lands on its windowsill, the stories about Nish Bavli, Nish Yerushalmi, etc., are pshutuk mashmal. And maybe the Chagav did land on his windowsill. You never know. I wouldn't put it past him. Anyway, so this is the machlokes I had with our man yesterday on the Hasa'ah. My man says, the minute olam shach, the minute olam shach. We don't tear kriya on the Talmud Chacham nowadays. And I said, yeah, but the only justification of the minute olam is that there's no one who knows everything. And that doesn't apply here because he knows everything. Even if you want to say Gedolei HaPoskim might not know Maseches Kala, there might be Gedolei HaPoskim who don't know. I'm not starting names. Maybe they're Gedolei HaPoskim who don't know all these more obscure, you know, texts of Chazal. But you can't say that for Chaim Kanievsky. So this is a question of, do you take the minhag, or do you go with the minhag, or do you go with the shach stretch of halacha for the minhag? So my man Paskin, no, minhag Yisrael Torah, minhag over halacha, minhag Yisrael Torah, we don't tear over Chaim Kanievsky. And I said, no, the only justification for the minhag is that no one knows everything. Since he knows everything, then if you learn Derech Emunah, then you have no heter not to tear kriya. Okay, so that was a machlokas. When we got there, I saw that 99% of people in the street didn't tear kriya. So either they were all amaratzim who don't learn Derech Emunah, or Ryan Mann is right. So I'll leave that bit. Sorry, Ian. You know, I think it was kedai to be machmir, because I definitely know things about tashkis. But I must admit, I showed up expecting to see the street full of people who tore kriya. Because not only that, if you're actually a Litvish Haredi, then they have a svara that the Gadol adores like everyone's Rabbi Mova. So it's even another reason. I expect to see everyone tear kriya, but that Shiritz Yisrael put out that everyone should tear kriya, although I was a little bit karov. But I didn't see anyone tear in kriya. Someone told me they saw two people. So I guess the minhag olam is like the shach, even without halachic justification. Very strange. By Rav Avadya, more people in the street tore kriya. I guess Sephardim are more coming to Torah than Ashkenazim. Even though by the Sephardim, 750,000 people came, by the Ashkenazim, 750,000 people came. I'm not getting into the politics of, you know, who had three more people to Levaya than who. I don't think that's a useful question to ask. Let's just say clearly that either of them had 10 times as many people as anyone who was not a big Talmud Chacham with the Levaya in the history of the state of Israel. You know, I don't know how many people are Ben Gurion's Levaya. Not necessarily fair, because there weren't many people in the country. But even proportionally, I have a feeling it was a lot less. But Sephardim were always better at Kabbalah Torah than Ashkenazim, I must admit. You know, behind closed doors, even the people who are like the most toe of the party line, etc., behind closed doors, they're always complaining about this rabbi because they agree with that rabbi, etc. Sephardim were good at Kabbalah Torah. Anyway, Tzarkiyim. So I tore Kriya, and Rami Mann didn't tear Kriya, and we each put our money where our mouth is. But I realized that I was going against the minhag olam.
Why did Rebbe tear the tzinah?
What? Because I was going against the minhag olam, and I was choshish for Yura to go against the minhag olam in public.
Final mission?
The truth is, maybe you could have torn the bottom of the shirt based on that Ramah. It's not clear if you meant Sifhei and Bav or even some Zayin Ches for the bottom of the shirt. But Lamaisa, nowadays, I also feel nowadays, now that we're going to throw out the shirt anyway, you might as well do all the chumras and Achi Gala Sleepo, because, like, what's the difference? Unless someone's going to save it. Like, I'm not going to save a shirt after I tear it. So, might as well do the most Machmir Kriya, because there's no... And that's not Baltasha. It's not even a Hefsed. Like, either way, it's going in the garbage. I'm not going to sew it up and wear it again.
That means tear that, like, your button-down or surrender shirt?
Ah, we'll see. Mefurish in Sif... in Sif Yud, that you're not yotzei if you tear your undershirt. I know someone told me that some posting said you should tear your undershirt for Rav Chaim Knievsky, and I don't understand how that could be because it's against the Shulchan Aruch. It's at least against the Ramah, so I can't imagine Ashkenazi posts be saying. Oh, because like they wanted people to tear, and they knew people wouldn't want to tear their shirts. It wasn't their relative, so they like compromised. So I don't get it, because it's Mefurish and Sif Yud. The Ramah writes that you don't tear an undershirt, in which case you're not yotzei tearing. And that undershirt doesn't count as a beged for kriya.
Is this shaft true for like a resin muvak also?
No, for Rabbi Muvak, I think there's more of a minute to tear for Rabbi Muvak nowadays. When I was at Rabbi Lichtenstein's Levaya, I saw a number of people tore, although I heard that one of the children was mad that people tore and thought it was Yura. I don't know. I'm not sure. I heard this third hand, so I don't know what to make of it. So maybe I shouldn't vote it. But anyway, at Rav Lichtenstein's funeral, I saw that that a lot of people who were Talmidim of Hakim tore. So I do think you do see Talmidim of Hakim to Talmidim of Hakim tear. I think Talmidim of Hakim Rav Chaim also tore.
But in terms of Rabbi Muvak, we say that like today.
That's the big question nowadays. Do we have a Rabbi Muvak or not? Okay, that's maybe why people are makel nowadays, and many people don't tear on the Rabbi Muvak. There are some people nowadays who literally don't have a Rabbi Muvak. Now, a lot of people nowadays literally don't have a Rabbi Muvak. You know, I don't know if everyone has a Rabbi Muvak. I think you could walk in shul and find a lot of guys who's a Rabbi Muvak. I don't know. I mean, now it's a shame. But some people do have Rabbi Muvak.
Put a shul rabbi.
Then he's night. I mean, okay, we'll have to get to the getter. I'm not sure, because that's a rov chachmasa menu, not just like spiritual leadership. So I'm not sure. Okay. So much for Seif Zion. Okay. We'll call it a day, and we'll pick up with a little bit of a brisker pace. Mirat Hashem will continue on Wednesday. So we'll pick up Mirat Hashem Wednesday, and we'll continue in Siman Shin Mem. Where do I want to get until on Wednesday? I'd like to get till close to the end of the Siman if we can. Like to get close to the end of the Siman if we can. Okay, so to be continued, Be'ezer Hashem. On Wednesday, and we're all here. So it's Wednesday. We're back in the classroom. So it's not revising Seishir Day. Okay. If anyone has questions, feel free to ask. We have questions in the chat. That's a great question. In Sif Dalid, it says by secondary relatives only the fun of. But it doesn't say only befanav for in-laws. And one can have a svara that in-laws even not befanav, because there might be a chiv of covenant independent for in-laws. Besides the fact that we practice it nowadays, at least theoretically, could you say the in-laws is even not befanav? Excuse me, I think theoretically you could, but based on Shimon Shinayin Dalid, it seems like the pshat and the gemara is that it's also only befanav, even though I hear both a diok and a svara. But Lamaisa, that's not what the post can assume. If someone avoids the kotel so they don't have to tear kriya, would we say the same thing? Better to go to the kotel and not do kriya than to avoid going to the kotel? I think so, although it's better for them to just tear kriya, but quite possibly. And you remember, you were at Rav Lichtenstein's Levaya? And many people have done kriya. Okay, good. Many people have done kriya. Okay, I don't remember exactly how many, but I also remember seeing people have done kriya. And what does Svardin do? the Sephardim, again, all these cool guys, the Sephardim tier for second degree relatives? No, they don't. For some reason, the Sephardim seem to have adopted all the coolest of the Ramah in Kriya. I'm not exactly sure why. I don't even think Rav Avadya tried to be more machmir, but maybe someone could look up in the Rav Avadya, Bli Neder, that he has on Yelkid Yosef, on Avelos. Maybe I'll look, but my, if I recall correctly, for some reason, the Sephardim didn't decide to be machzer Atar LeYoshna here. Maybe there's some reason.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good day, everyone.